Report. Preface. This report presupposes two very outlandish things: that there are aliens, and that some people, occultists, have magical powers. It is not the point of this report to prove whether or not there are such beings or powers. What is known is that there are people who believe that there are such beings and believe that they have such powers. The crux of this report is based on what people believe, which may be very different from the way things really are. Please bear this in mind. This report also recounts some very curious behavior on the part of a number of people. These behaviors and events actually did take place and are fact. However, the supposed results of these events are entirely subjective and entirely in the realm of belief. It is not my purpose to try to prove or disprove the beliefs of the people involved. It's what they did, and do, because of these beliefs that interest me. Introduction. I first became curious about a possible connection between the gray aliens of popular UFO culture and the activities of certain occultists after seeing several of UFO investigator Ray Fowler's books on the recommended reading list of a satanic website. In an idle moment, I had done a Google search on Ray's book, The Watchers 2, and one of the spots that listed it, much to my surprise, was the recommended reading list of a satanic group. It is not my moral judgment that this group is satanic, the group itself calls itself satanic. I found this both disturbing and inexplicable. For what reason would a UFO book be included in the curriculum of a satanic group, and why Ray's book in particular? I emailed Ray and asked him if he had any insight into the situation, but he was as perplexed as I was. And their matters rested for a year or so until additional information came into my hands, information that may indicate, much as John Keel himself believed, that occult activity may be an ingredient of the gray alien mystery. The pictures below bear a resemblance and may hold the key. The first picture is a drawing made by occultist Aleister Crowley of an entity he had invoked repeatedly in 1918 and called Lamb. The second picture is a composite drawing by Enderinger of an alien type reported throughout 1980s in the Hudson Valley. Having noticed the similarity, I proceeded to investigate the connection. Investigation. Aleister Crowley. The Englishman Aleister Crowley, 1875-1947, was one of the most notorious occultists of his day, and perhaps of modern times. Self-styled as the Beast 666, he went out of his way to live up to it with his sensationalism and self-promotion. He wrote a number of textbooks on ceremonial magic, most of which are still in print today. He also founded and was head of a number of occult fraternities. In short, he exerted a significant influence on occult circles that has continued to grow dramatically, long after his death. The Amulantra Working. In January through March of 1918, Crowley began a series of magical workings called the Amulantra Workings in furnished rooms in Central Park West, New York City. These were performed via sexual and ceremonial magic, his spelling, with the intent to invoke certain intelligences to physical manifestation. In actuality, the workings typically manifested as a series of visions and communications received through the mediumship of his partner, Roddy Minor. Be that as it may, at least one such intelligence was brought into physical manifestation via the magical portal they created. A portal in this context is a magically created rent in the fabric of time and space, the entity that came through as the one pictured above left. Crowley maintained the picture is actually a portrait and drawn from real life. This entity either called itself Lamb, or was named Lamb by Crowley. Either way, he considered it to be of interdimensional origin, which was the term then for extraterrestrial. In communications with Lamb, the symbolism of the egg featured prominently. Crowley included the portrait of Lamb in his Dead Souls exhibition held in Greenwich Village, New York, in 1919. In that same year, it was published as a frontispiece labeled The Way to Crowley's Commentary to Blavatsky's The Voice of the Silence. Beneath the picture was the following inscription. Lama is the Tibetan word for a way or path, and Lama is he who goeth, the specific title of the gods of Egypt, the trader of the path, in Buddhistic phraseology. Its numerical value is 71, the number of this book. Other than this, There is no commentary extant from Crowley upon the subject of Lamb except for material published by disciples such as Kenneth Grant. Interestingly, Crowley gave the drawing to Grant in 1945. Cult of Lamb. Since Crowley's time, several occult groups and individuals following in his footsteps have claimed to have intentionally and successfully contacted Lamb. Most notably, Michael Bershiox in the 1960s, followed by a group of OTO initiates in the 1970s. The OTO is the Ordo Templi Orientis, a magic order run by Crowley. These individuals consider Lamb to be a transmundane or extraterrestrial entity and claimed remarkable success in their invocations, if they are to be believed. Following the success of these contacts, interest in occult circles, especially Crowleyan ones, gathered considerable steam. In 1987, Kenneth Grant, the generally acknowledged successor to Crowley, went so far as to formalize the Lamb workings into something called the Cult of Lamb. To quote from Grant's Typhonian OTO website, "The Cult of Lamb has been founded because very strong intimations have been received by Asikawas, 718. To the effect that the portrait of Lamb, the original drawing of which was given by 666, to 718, under curious circumstances, is the present focus of an extraterrestrial, and perhaps trans-plutonic, energy which the OTO is required to communicate at this critical period, for we have now entered the 80s mentioned in the Book of the Law. It is our aim to obtain some insight not only into the nature of Lamb, but also into the possibilities of using the egg as an astral space capsule for traveling to Lamb's domain, or for exploring extraterrestrial spaces in the sense in which OTO tantric time travelers are exploring the tunnels of Set in intracosmic Anthonian capsules. Members of the OTO who feel strongly attracted to this cult of Lamb are invited to apply for participation therein. It is open only to order members. They should contact Frater Annie Asig, 375. Of the Sovereign Sanctuary, OTO and submit a formal, typewritten and signed acceptance of the conditions of working outlined here. It should be understood that proficiency in the magical formulae of this cult does not necessarily comport eligibility for advancement in the OTO, its parent order. Concurrently, a manuscript called the Lamb Statement was circulated among OTO initiates with a view to regularizing the mode of rapport and constructing a magical formula for establishing communication with Lamb. Who is Lamb? It is interesting to note that since Crowley's time, in occult terms at least, Lamb is considered a class of entity rather than an individual being. When one invokes Lamb, they are invoking an entity of that type, rather than a specific being. For occultists operating along OTO lines, the idea is to invoke these Lamb entities through magical portals, intentionally created rents in time and space, into physical manifestation on planet Earth. Why this is desirable is not always so clearly stated. It often appears that within Crowleyan circles the working rule is often, "If Crowley did it, I want to do it, too." Michael Bershiox, a Lamb contactee and invoker of note, viewed Lamb as the subterranean burgeoning of Lucifer Gnosis. Considering that Gnosis means an intuitive knowing, this would mean that knowing Lamb is to know a welling up from the unconscious of an inner knowing of Lucifer. The occult being the occult, it is important to bear in mind that occultists at least may not necessarily see Lucifer as the devil, but rather as a light bringer who fell to earth. Bershiox goes on to say that Lamb is the natural mode of human evolution in the present eon, indicating that to him and his followers this Lucifer Gnosis is the appropriate path of human spiritual growth at this time. Crowley termed the intentional cultivation of spiritual growth a great work. And the great work for Crowley involved precisely the establishment of contact with non-human intelligences. Intelligences such as Lamb. Using the language of Crowley's time, certain non-human intelligences such as Lamb were what we today would term extraterrestrial. A portal opened. It is generally agreed within occult circles that Crowley intentionally opened the portal of entry via magic ritual in the Amilantra workings, which allowed the likes of Lamb and other similar entities a passageway onto the Earth world. The rift in between the spaces of the stars, created by the Amilantra working, created a gateway through which Lyme and other extra-cosmic influences could enter the known universe, and most particularly, our Earth world. According to occultists involved in such things, the portal has since widened. The Babylon working. According to occult lore, the portal was further enlarged by a jet propulsion laboratory founder and rocket fuel scientist named Jack Parsons, and Scientology and Dianetics founder L. Ron Hubbard in 1946, facilitating, so it is said, a monumental paradigm shift in human consciousness. This magical working was called the Babylon working, and like the Amilantra working on which its ritual was patterned, it was based on ceremonial sex magic. Together they endeavored to incarnate a physical aspect of Babylon, the Scarlet Woman of the Book of Revelations, 17:3-6. They believed that Babylon was the herald of the New Age of Horus, and that Revelations was the understandably negative interpretation by those of the dying age of Osiris. The gist of it was that Parsons desired to take the spirit of Babylon, the Whore of Babylon, and invest it in a human being. The idea was to create a child in the spiritual world, and then call down a spiritual baby and direct it into a human womb. When born, this child would incarnate the forces of Babylon, which they considered to be a good thing. Although Crowley had previously written the somewhat hilarious book Moonchild, concerning a similar experiment, he wrote in a letter, "Apparently Parsons and Hubbard or somebody is producing a Moonchild. I get fairly frantic when I contemplate the idiocy of these louts." In any event, the rites were duly performed as written from January 4th to 15th of that year. It is not known if a spiritual child was enwombed from them. What is known is that the magical portal first created by Crowley, and which originally let Lamb into the Earth world, was re-established with considerable intensity by Parsons and Hubbard. From the diaries of the participants, it is also clear that they were not as adept as Crowley in the closings of portals. What they seem to have accomplished was the drastic enlargement and ripping of an existing magical portal and the subsequent non-closure of it. Perhaps the rip they created was not possible to close. In any event, the modern UFO era began exactly a year and a half later on June 24, 1947, with Kenneth Arnold's sighting over the Cascade Mountains in Washington State. Gray aliens. The gray aliens, slight-bodied, big-headed, large dark-eyed mannequin creatures are primarily an American phenomena. And it is interesting to note that all the Lamb workings were done in America. Reports of these UFO-associated entities became prevalent in the 1980s and made the big time with Whitley Strieber's book Communion. The Greys appear eerily similar to Lamb, with the exception of Lamb not having the large insectoid wrap-around eyes reported of the Greys. However, there are variations of these small mannequins that very much resemble a Lamb. See the second of the two pictures at the top of this page. This entity is a composite of a variation commonly seen in the 1980s. Rather than gray, its skin tone is clay white and the facial features are different. In fact, the resemblance to the Lamb pictured by Crowley is virtually exact. Also, and perhaps most significantly, Kenneth Grant, head of the current OTO, states that Lamb is a great old one whose archetype is recognizable in accounts of UFO occupants. It would seem from this official Typhonian statement that the current invokers of Lamb are absolutely clear that Lamb and the gray aliens are one. Satanism. I am not an expert on Satanism, nor do I intend to be. However, there are some reasonably obvious things I have gleaned. First, Satanism is not a unified movement like Christianity or Islam. It is comprised of individuals with their own distinct ideas about what it means to be a Satanist. Second, to some it is a religion, to some a philosophy, to others a magical path. Third, there is usually a thread of magical interest in most Satanists of most types. And, where there is an interest in magic among Satanists, it is almost universally an interest in Crowleyan-derived magic. Discussion. Back to the questions. The questions that initiated this investigation and report were, what possible connection is there between the gray aliens of popular UFO culture and the activities of certain occultists, and for what reason would a UFO book be included in the curriculum of a satanic group, and why Ray Fowler's book The Watchers 2 in particular? Question 1. Discussion. Based on face value of the evidence, a theory could be constructed that not only are the Lambs gray aliens, but that the arrival of the gray aliens in American UFO culture was facilitated solely by the magical workings of Aleister Crowley and later disciples working in his footsteps. There are official OTO groups today, such as the Cult of Lamb, that are dedicated to invoking the Lamb entities into the Earth world. According to their literature, not only is contact with non-human entities an integral component of spiritual growth, but the Lamb consciousness of Lucifer Gnosis is the natural mode of human evolution in the present eon. Thus these gray alien/Lamb entities are deemed worthy of invocation into the Earth world on behalf of the interests of humanity's evolution. According to the face value of the evidence, one could also theorize that the magical portal that Crowley created in the Amalintra working brought through the first of these beings. However, the portal constructed was properly closed. In contrast, when Parsons and Hubbard did their similarly constructed Babylon working involving the opening of the same portal, either they ripped the portal beyond ability to be repaired and closed, or it was enlarged beyond their ability to close it. In either case, the portal, according to the evidence, has remained opened ever since to all manner of interdimensional entities to ingress upon the Earth world at will. The Parsons, Hubbard working effectively opened the world to the modern UFO entity situation. And, based on the Lucifer Gnosis construct, OTO-style occultists have continued to pull further interdimensional entities through this rip or unclosable portal. Of course, Kenneth Grant's statement noted above, Lamb is a great old one whose archetype is recognizable in accounts of UFO occupants, is the final proof that the Crowleyan occultists fully believe that they are indeed invoking gray aliens into the Earth world. 2 cents for John Keel. Noted UFO/14 researcher and author John Keel felt that much of the paranormal situations he investigated, such as the Mothman, were at root due to occult activity of some sort. And it looks like he was onto something. Interestingly, part of the ritual for invoking Lamb, or Lambs, is to begin by meditating on the eyes of Crowley's Lamb portrait. To quote Kenneth Grant, "To gaze into the eyes of this entity is to invite potent contact. One feels an immediate sensation of lightness, of weightlessness, and then a sensation of falling. Of being sucked into a vortex. Sound familiar? It is well known among UFO investigators that the eyes of the gray aliens have a powerful effect on the witness. Witnesses often feel like they are being sucked into their eyes. They also invoke deep feelings of fear." Grant continues with instructions. "The eyes will enlarge and will suck in your consciousness until there rises a sensation of being within the entity's head. Again, this is presented as a good thing. In any event, the first gate of consciousness is obviously through the eyes. And thus one who would meditate upon the eyes of a portrait of such an entity will indeed begin the process of opening a portal within themselves to the entity. In other words, you don't have to be a trained occultist to raise hell on yourself," which is also one of Keel's contentions. Question 2. Discussion. Why would Ray Fowler's Watcher series be recommended by Satanists as part of their curriculum? First, most Satanists have an interest in magic. Second, the kind of magic is almost always Crowleyan magic. Third, a significant portion of the Crowleyan world feel that invoking Lamb, or Lambs, is a necessary part of moving human evolution ahead. Fourth, Lambs are the occult label for gray aliens. Fifth, the most comprehensive books on the habits and idiosyncrasies of the Greys are Ray Fowler's Watcher series. If you want to know all about the Greys, you read Fowler. Summary. Gray aliens are Lambs, and were first contacted via magical ritual by Aleister Crowley. Further magical ritual along similar lines created a situation where direct access for these entities to the Earth world was established. Certain groups and people believe this to be beneficiary to humanity, and continue to draw these beings into the Earth world through magical ritual via the original access point. Satanists are involved in Crowley Lamb invocations and recommend Grays books for their extensive content on the habits and idiosyncrasies of the Grays, Lambs. Conclusion. It is now clear why Ray Fowler's books were recommended reading. This part of the puzzle, and the primary reason I wrote the report, has been solved to my satisfaction. The secondary question raised by investigating the first, do aliens or lambs actually exist, is a far different matter. People's actions are objective, but the motivations are based on the subjectivity of beliefs. What one person believes to be reality may not be in the least real to another. At a certain level, and for the purposes of this report, it does not really matter if these beings and powers are objectively real or not. What is significant and of pertinence here is that many members of the occult community, O.T.O. Crowleyan, do indeed believe these beings and powers to be real and govern themselves accordingly. They spend considerable time attempting communication and invocation of them. They believe it is for the benefit of us all, although if this were generally known, I would think it would be a point of some considerable debate. Conclusion. It is now clear why Ray Fowler's books were recommended reading. This part of the puzzle, and the primary reason I wrote the report, has been solved to my satisfaction. The secondary question raised by investigating the first, do aliens or lambs actually exist, is a far different matter. People's actions are objective, but the motivations are based on the subjectivity of beliefs. What one person believes to be reality may not be in the least real to another. At a certain level, and for the purposes of this report, it does not really matter if these beings and powers are objectively real or not. What is significant and of pertinence here is that many members of the occult community, O.T.O. Crowleyan, do indeed believe these beings and powers to be real and govern themselves accordingly. They spend considerable time attempting communication and invocation of them. Well, Inans, that's it for today, but before we close up we'd like to give credit to Daniel V. Baudelian for writing this article. We would also like to say here at Pepe's Choice, we believe gray aliens to be demonic entities. What are your thoughts on this? Let us know in the comments down below.